book of Romans, Romans chapter 14. And on the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down any scripture references that you'll want to take with you today. Romans chapter 14. And I'll read verse 12 in just a moment. Father, I pray now that you would just continue to open our hearts, that you would speak to us. I pray we need to hear from you, Lord. We need to hear from you. People don't need to hear me talk. We need to hear from you. So we give you our attention. We give you our focus now. Lord, those in person, those joining online, wherever and whenever it may be, I pray that you would open our hearts and open our ears, Lord, to hear what you would say, and then help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans 14, verse 12 says, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. So then each of us will give account of himself to God. So we will give a response. We will give account to God for our response to him and our obedience to his word. Whatever light we may have, wherever people are in the world, we will give account to God for how we respond to his word and his spirit. And because of that, he goes on in the next verse, in verse 13, it says, therefore, let us not judge one another. That word has the idea of condemning. So we are to be discerning. Lord knows we need discernment in our day. But it's not our place to especially condemn people, you know, eternally and in that way. So he says, don't judge or condemn one another, but rather make up your mind to do this. Resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So again, we will give account of ourselves to God. We need to understand that we cannot blame anyone else for how we choose to live. Some people want to say, well, there are hypocrites in the church. Yes, there are, because you got people. But I've never heard anyone say, you know, I don't go to that bar because a bunch of hypocrites in there. I don't go to that theater. I don't go to that restaurant. You know, I don't get gas over there because I see a hypocrite over there pumping gas. I'm not promoting any kind of hypocrisy. I'm simply saying we each choose what we will believe. We each choose how we will live. So no excuses. Let's trust God to help us live his way. In fact, I would like to maybe lead you in a prayer. And I believe it's your heart. And if it is, would you pray this out loud after me? Would you say, Lord, I trust you. Help me to live for you. And then not only as we live for the Lord will we not cause someone else to stumble, we will also be a godly example that they can follow. So to be that godly example, I'm not here to, you know, just condemn anyone. I'm here to live for the Lord and trust him for grace to live a life that's pleasing to him. Then verse 19, Romans 14, 19 says, therefore, continuing in this same line of thought, therefore, let us pursue. Would you say pursue? Pursue means you got to make a choice. It's a decision. We decide. And then we seek. Pursue means I'm going after something. I'm seeking. I'm taking action toward this decision that I've made now. So let us pursue, he says, the things which make for peace, the things which will bring us together, and the things by which one may edify another. What does edify mean? To build up. So if you think of the English word edifice, that would be like edify, all right? So he says, now let's pursue, let's go after what's going to bring us into a place of harmony. Let's pursue the things of peace, and let's pursue how we can build one another up. I want to read that verse to you if you want to look on the screen in the New Living Translation. It says like this in the New Living, 14:19. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. That should be our heart from the Lord. That's our desire. And then over into chapter 15, verse 2, and this is going to be our theme verse today, Romans 15, verse 2. Again, I want to read this from the New Living Translation. It says this, Romans 15, 2. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. Would you read that out loud with me? We have that on the screen, I think. Is that right? We're good? Can we read it together where it says we should? Ready? We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. And let me give you a little context. Right before he says that, he says we must not live to please ourselves. Don't just live to please yourself. And then right after, the next thing he says is, for Christ didn't live to please himself. And he's our example. And that's really the simple message today. I want to just take a few moments to center on. God willing, we'll get this in our heart and we will be doers and we'll pursue it. And that's simply this: build each other up in the Lord. Build each other up in the Lord. That's the key, I believe, is so important. Build each other up in the Lord. Because we can build someone up in the wrong way, what the Bible calls flattery, where we're just trying to get something out of them. Y'all heard the phrase, butter you up? You're just trying to be manipulative, and I'm going to try to, you know, give them something good to hear because they'll give me something back in return. So no impure motives, pure heart, pure motive before the Lord, that I genuinely want to build others up in the Lord. I want to build up my brothers. I want to build up my sisters in the Lord. So build each other up in the Lord. Build each other up in the faith. Build each other up in God's word. Build each other up in God's will. Build each other up spiritually. And then as we do that, it's build each other. It's a two-way street. So I don't take the attitude, well, no one's encouraging me. No one's building me up. No, it's both ways. That if we will do this, because I believe we all have a natural tendency to be self-centered to some degree, to be self-focused and even self-pleasing, I believe we have to have those constant reminders to look out and not just focus on ourselves and think about how it's going to affect me, but to think about building someone else up and blessing someone else, but also to be on the receiving end, to be humble enough to receive blessing, encouragement, and strength or comfort or peace, whatever it may be, from others as well. So build each other up in the Lord. If we build each other up and we receive edification from others, then it will help us rise above that natural tendency to just be self-focused, self-centered, and then what happens is we tend to get into self-pity. And God doesn't get any glory out of that. So to live in such a way to build each other up in the Lord and so that God gets the glory. And I can assure you I've done at least a little bit of both enough to know this from the voice of experience. To live God's way is a more blessed and a more fruitful way to live. We will have a more blessed life. We will have a more fruitful life, and I believe even a more grace-filled and peaceful life if we will do what God says and build each other up in the Lord. Build each other up in the Lord. Would you turn to someone next to you and just give them a loving smile and tell them, build each other up in the Lord? Doesn't that feel good? I'll say it to you streaming. I say it to you guys back there too. Build each other up in the Lord. That's my heart. I want to build you up. And we need each other, brothers and sisters, don't we? Oh, my goodness. Build each other up in the Lord. Two reasons, real quick. Two reasons, if you want to write these down, of why we, and of course, there can be many, many more than two. I'm just using the context right here. Number one, we want to build each other up in the Lord for God's glory. For God's glory. And the church's growth in both. I'll give you the scripture in just a moment. God's glory and the church's growth. One of the major themes throughout the Word of God from cover to cover is the glory of God. It's the glory of God. And I wanted to just kind of define that out a little bit, because glory refers to God's awesomeness, his brilliance. It means something that's weighty, something that has substance. When we read in the Old Testament that when the glory of God really moved powerfully, the priests couldn't even continue to serve because there was such a presence of God. It was just like a wow. They were in the presence of God, and it was not church as usual. And so God revealed himself. It can actually even refer to like radiant light beaming out of him. But when we live God's way, when we build each other up in the Lord, then God is glorified. God is magnified. God is exalted. God is praised. And God gets the glory. That's really what it's all about. And if we will live to honor him, then he will receive the praise, and then we will also receive the blessing. I want to live in such a way that God gets the glory, that God is exalted. I don't want to give God a bad name by how I live. So I want to live in such a way. Now, if you're looking for perfection, I'm going to let you down. I'm not perfect. But my heart wants to please God. And I can tell you that only came because of him. Only came because of God and his grace. And I believe that's why you're here. I believe it's why you're joining right now, is you want your life to give glory to God. You want to be used by God and be a blessing. So we live God's way. We try to encourage and build each other up in the Lord. And then God is glorified, he is exalted, he is magnified. And as Jesus said, let others see your good works so that they may glorify your Father in heaven. That's letting our light shine. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 says this. Romans 15, verse 5 says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. Again, really continuing on that same thought. According to Christ Jesus. In other words, as it is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus to live. Verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God of our and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See how it's about his glory? Then verse 7, therefore, receive one another, how? Just as Christ also received us, and why do we do it? To the glory of God. To the glory of God. Receiving one another as Jesus opened his heart and welcomed and received us to receive one another. Doesn't matter how much money you make. Doesn't matter how young or old you are. Doesn't matter if you're with the cool kids. Doesn't matter the color of your skin, where you're from. None of that matters. None of that mattered to the Lord. He was willing to receive us if we just simply come to him in faith and repentance. Build each other up in the Lord. And then for the church's growth, I'll read two verses out of Ephesians 4. Two verses out of Ephesians 4. Build each other up in the Lord. Will you say that with me? Build each other up in the Lord. So for God's glory and the church's growth, because when the church grows, and that can certainly be in numbers, but it also applies to spiritual growth, Christ-likeness. Again, God gets the glory. So Ephesians 4, verse 15 says this, but speaking the truth in love, both are needed, truth and love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. In other words, we need both truth and love to grow in Christ-likeness. Let me pause right there just a minute. God gives a warning to anyone who would tamper with his word, to anyone who tries to add to his word, or anyone who would try to take away from his word. So we dare not compromise the truth of the inspired word of God. Truth. But we are not to compromise the love of God either, as revealed in Christ at the cross. Always in the New Testament, the love of God, you see a link to the sacrifice Jesus made for us at Calvary, how he was willing to pour himself out and give himself completely to us out of love. And it would cause one of the writers of the New Testament to say, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Many times I'm doing communion just even to myself, if I'm by myself or whenever it may be at home, I just say it to myself, Lord, you loved me and gave yourself for me. Now I want to love you and give myself for you. I offer you my body as a living sacrifice. So he says we need truth and love. And he goes on in that next verse, verse 16. So speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working. Now, what makes the body of Christ work effectively? By which every part does its share. Everyone is important in the body of Christ. He has no unimportant or unneeded members. Everyone is important. Every part doing its share, notice what happens, causes growth of the body for the building up, edifying, the building up of itself in love. So we need truth and we need love in order to grow in Christ's likeness. We talk about growing and building each other up in the Lord. It must be with according to the word, and it must be according to the heart and the love of God as well. I want to close here in just a few moments in 1 Corinthians 10, but I want to mention this first because I want to make sure, let's not confuse our opinions and our preferences with the Word of God, all right? My opinion and my preference is not Scripture, all right? So I don't want to come across like it is. In fact, the Bible says this, if you want to just write it down as a reference, in 1 Corinthians 8, it talks about how there were some, it used the example of meat offered to idols. At that time, some meat was offered to idols, and the Christian church had a question, well, are we supposed to eat that meat? I mean, that looks good. So the scripture says there, and you know, over in Romans 14 as well, it says, if you go to someone's house and they serve you a meal, don't ask them, was that offered to an idol? Just go ahead and thank the Lord, eat it, and enjoy it. But if you go and they tell you that was offered to an idol, same food, God's still the same. But he said, don't eat it. And this is why, because you don't want to cause someone else to stumble and fall. See, that's where I could go in and say, you know what? I'm going to eat with this brother, and he's a vegetarian, but I need a greasy burger. I don't care what he thinks. Even though I have the Christian liberty to do that on a personal basis, I wouldn't be sinning if I ate it, but I could sin by how I did it. That's where God calls us to say, you know what? Even though I have personal liberty, I'm going to choose to walk in love and allow love to limit my choices right now. Now I'll eat that for supper. But for right now, I'm going to enjoy some good vegetables. God give me plenty to enjoy. And I'm going to focus more on the fellowship right now anyway than the food. You see the example? So it's nothing wrong. You know, there are some freedoms that we have, but he's just simply saying, with the heart of Jesus, don't use your freedom in such a way that's going to hurt someone else and cause someone else. If we're spiritual, let's show it by trying to build them up in the Lord. And if our heart is right. So in fact, he says in that 1 Corinthians 8, he says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Talking about knowledge, at least in, you know, what our opinion, our perspective and everything. And one of the brothers here, a doctor, said he had one professor in college who told him, if you're the smartest person in the room, what? You're in the wrong room. I thought about that as I was thinking about the scripture, because that same scripture in 1 Corinthians 8 says, if you think you know something, you don't know it yet as well as you ought to know. And here's the real knowledge. Love God. It says God knows and recognizes those who love him. That's the key. So thank God none of us have arrived. None of us have, you know, we're not the fountain of knowledge, fountain of wisdom, but we want to walk in love. Let's learn. I'm all for learning. I'm all for that. There's important. We ought to learn, but knowledge doesn't take precedent over love and having the heart of God and displaying it that way. So I would just say this, let's examine our heart and our motive, and let's try to build each other up in the Lord. Before I read those, in fact, let me, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 10, we'll read a couple verses there and I'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But I do want to ask you to get your input on this, okay? So you can go ahead and just speak to me here. We got to make it real practical and livable. In what ways can we build each other up in the Lord? So the Bible commands us, build each other up in the Lord. But if I don't know how to build you up, then what am I supposed to do? So I'll be frustrated. So how can I build you up in the Lord? How can you build me up in the Lord? Anyone? Give me an idea. Okay, let me just, I'll work my way back here. Okay, Brother David? Okay, to have genuine fellowship together with other Christians. So that fellowship builds us both up in the Lord. That's the giving and receiving. And, you know, it's not just, hey, we got together and talked about, you know, the game last night. Nothing wrong with that. But we actually share something about the Lord. Okay? All right, Sean? Okay, so encouraging words. The Bible talks about in the book of Acts how the believers went in and they spoke to the church and built them up and encouraged them in their walk with the Lord to encourage them through tribulation and hard times. And the Bible says when they received that building up, the church multiplied and grew and had peace. Rick? Okay, to be accountable to one another. You know, it says right there, I didn't read it, but a little further back in the scripture there in Romans, it says that no one lives and no one dies to himself. That we're part of the body, and what we do potentially affects others and certainly can influence for good or bad. Anyone else? How can we build each other up in the Lord? These are great suggestions, because maybe that word could be a card. Maybe it could be a phone call, a text, or whatever, and of course in person too, to just encourage someone, hey, I don't know what all you're going through right now, but I want you to know I care, and I'm praying for you. And that can be, I'm telling you, I've been on the receiving end of those words and prayers. It is a blessing. And there are times we get weak and we need that building up from each other in the Lord. Anyone else? One more thought? Okay, yes, Pam.
If you're struggling with something, and I know it's already said, but encouraging, you know,
amen. Let me repeat that, okay? If you know someone is struggling in an area, or just going through a time of how you can give words of encouragement, maybe scripture, and try to encourage them that they can make it, they're going to go through in Christ. I want to tell you this, okay? Yeah, I came down here this morning early, rode my bike. I usually come down and, you know, pick up any extra little trash. I try to do it on Saturdays, and then I'll turn the lights on, temperature and everything. And when I got back home, Kim was awake, and she said, oh, Pam, and I couldn't make out what she said, and you had sent her, I don't know how it was, maybe Facebook or text or something, and you had given her a scripture this morning, and she talked about how you're always an encourager, and you're a good encourager, and what a blessing you are. Now, for the record, you didn't know I was sharing this. I didn't know you were going to say that, but see, God knew. That's all it's about. It's just simply living it out. And before we read this in 1 Corinthians, we know this. Forces are at work to tear us down spiritually. And forces are at work to divide us and distract us in our walk with the Lord. I'll say that one again. Forces are at work to distract us as the people of God and divide us, because if we're divided and we're distracted, what happens? The glory of God is diminished, and the church is not only divided, the church becomes ineffective. Do you see what I'm saying about build each other up in the Lord for God's glory and the church's growth? And someone, I'll use a contemporary issue. Someone emailed me about 4 months ago, just asked me a question and said, what are your thoughts about the vaccine? How many of you know what vaccine I'm talking about? You know now, right? And so I emailed them a response. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't give medical advice. I just share a few thoughts with them. And maybe I'll even put that on the website. But I didn't bring it up. But about a month ago, I read a report, maybe some of you heard it or saw it, that 1 in 7 have actually, like, ended, you know, separated themselves from friendships and family over the different perspective about the vaccine. Here's the bottom line of how I responded in that email. You can hear so much that we can hear what we want to hear. And if you already have your mind made up on a perspective, then you can verify it. I would just say, try to get good sources. Be willing to hear maybe a different point of view, and then pray. And then just pray. And whatever, I'll say this. Some of you have come to me, I didn't ask. You volunteered it to me and said, hey, I got my second shot coming up on Tuesday. I prayed for you. You can ask people who've met Wednesdays over the last year and a half. I prayed that if anyone could be helped by that vaccine, they'd get it. And if there are any potential long-term side effects, maybe we're not familiar with yet, I pray they would be revealed so they could be corrected. Man, I don't want to see anyone hurt either way. We all know people who've died, I'm sure, from this virus. So whatever you decide, I'm going to say this. I will love you, and I'll pray for you, and I'll try to build you up in the Lord. And I will not try to pressure you or shame you either way. I'm not going to pressure you or shame you to or not to get the vaccine. And whatever you decide, I'm going to respect your ability to decide as you follow the Lord. But I will say this, whatever you decide, brothers and sisters, there is a greater cause. There is a greater cause. And the greater cause is we need to come together because we need each other, and we need to come together for the glory of God. We come together for the greater good of God's kingdom, the greater good of God's will, God's reign, and God's glory being extended in this earth. If we can meet there, then we can make the other. Hey, we'll talk about it. If you want to disagree, we'll disagree. But I'm willing to meet. Let's talk. But let's pray together. And when we leave one another's company, let's be on one accord that, hey, I respect your decision. I love you. You respect my decision. You love me. And let's give glory to God and build each other up in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10. I'll close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. And then we can, Brother Gary, if you'll lead us as we would share this time. The Bible says, I speak as to wise men and wise women, wise people. I speak as to wise people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion, the sharing, the partaking of the blood of Christ? And the bread, which we break, is it not the communion, the sharing, the partaking of the body of Christ? Notice, for we, would you say we? Though many are one bread, and notice, one body, for we all partake of that one bread. As we come together today to share communion at the Lord's table, let's discern the Lord's body, not just his physical body on earth 2,000 years ago and his glorified body in heaven today. Let's discern this body. We are the body of Christ. And let's make sure that we're not doing anything to cause anyone else to stumble. Let's try to love and build each other up in the Lord so that not only do we grow spiritually, the body of Christ grows, but God gets the glory. So he says, you are one by discern the body. He tells us that when he says, examine yourself and not partake in an unworthy manner, but come to the table and let's just make sure our heart is right and to humble ourselves before the Lord. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's focus on the sacrifice he made for us and his love for us, and then let's follow his example. Build each other up in the Lord. Discern the Lord's body. Brothers and sisters, the church is not just another organization. The church of the living God is the body of Christ on earth today. And we are our expression of Christ that others are going to see and follow if they're going to be joined to the Lord as well. Who will you build up? Who will you build up in the Lord today? Can we stand as we have a closing prayer, and then Brother Gary, if you would come and lead us.